So now we can start our session, so you can download the materials from the URL. So the following session is access GPIO and I2C and UR equipment. So yesterday, as we heard in this same room, so we heard a lot about our drivers, how to write the drivers, the architectures, the framework, and so on, and also some WDF introduction. And today, so we have some stored some GPIO and I2C, some resources. So when you write the driver, so what are the things you have to pay attention to, and also the actual method? My name is Devin. I'm in the partner enablement team in OSG. I'm a software engineer. So now we'll start this session. So for Windows, so they can offer some simplified framework. So as we heard, a lot of concerning the framework, some repeated code base. You don't have to write again. You just focus your attention on the development, which is also same true for LPB. Windows offers such a framework. This is a low power bus. So connection with our devices, we can use a simple way for the communication. So this is our agenda. So these are four items. The first one, I'll give you an overview concerning our Windows low power bus. And also we have a real case. So with this accelerating sensors, they use I2C resources. So we'll have some actual code to give you a presentation step by step. For this code, and so at the entry level of the development, the situations you might have, how to have those best practices. And also we do have some reference information for your future activity. So we'll start with the low power bus. So this is a systematic overview. So for the low power bus, we have three major blocks. The one on the left is a GPIO in blue color. So on many devices, so it's quite popular. It could be used for the interrupt with a general purpose I/O. So if your device, you have some buttons, you can press the button and then that you'll have an interrupt. Or if it is a switch, you can switch on and off. You can have an interrupt. So the GPIO interrupt could use as SPB or the serial buses. So as an interrupt. So SPB, so the one in the green color for SPB, so it consists of I2C and also SPI spy. So I2C, so it's quite common. So it's kind of a serial communication. So they are very similar. That's why they are all classified as SPB. So for this kind of devices, for our input device, or some heat, or some touch control, they might use the sensors. The third one on the right is the red color. It's our UR. This is a high-speed UR. Could be as high as 20 megabit per second for Bluetooth or GPS equipment. So I want to have a hardware and software introduction. So we'll look at our hardware introduction. So we have four controllers on the top. So they have two I2C and a GPIO and one UART. So for those four blocks, so those are the four controllers in my PC. It might connect other devices. There's an accelerator. It's an atmosphere and optical sensor, and also it's a touch board. So with an accelerator, I use I2C and a low power controller, and also the GPIO. We have two cables. This is the layout on our hardware. For the software, for the ACPI table, so this PI table, so could be defined with our resources. We have two S2C and a GPIO and a UART. For the ACPI, if it is finished, so there is a resources hub in our Windows. Resources hub. So already declared resources could be distributed to our physical devices. My accelerator could connect I2C or GPIO. So we have the software in the middle through the resources hub. So for a real case, so now this is your device manager. In this graphics, as an IT person or a developer, if you want to look at the details of those circuits, there is a kind of control bus in the S2C. So we connected several devices. So it's clearly presented. So on which kind of bus you can see the certain devices. This is our resources hub, which plays a critical role in this layout. So we talk about the software and the hardware, their connection. How about our system architecture? This is the typical driver. On the top, we have a UMDF. If you are IHV, if you want to write those driver, so you mainly have contact with the one on the top. So otherwise, you might UMDF, that is a host bus driver. For the peripheral devices, that is our accelerator. And also, we have some physical cases. So the one on the right, this is our GPIO connection method. So just now, we talked something very abstract. This is quite concrete cases. And also, we have a physical hardware. That is our accelerator. The one on the top is our device drivers. For these drivers, so with the blue part, this is offered by Windows. It's a GPIO. It's a GPIO class extension driver. So if you write those drivers for the devices, so with a GPIO, so the connection with the GPIO, that is okay. You don't have to care about those GPIO controllers. It could be written by other vendors. What we care about is the blue part. This is a consistent interface. If you are a SoC vendor, you have to write only the green part. So if you got the information and upload it to this GPIO class extension. So our advantage of GPIO, so it could be used as an interrupt. The other one is our general I/O resources. Both of them will do. In this framework, we have our peripheral interrupt in our GPIO. You might use other I2C devices. So if you have anything, there's an interrupt, you can use it. So the second case is quite similar. We can look at the map on the right. This is the SPB. This is the GPIO. It's replaced by the SPB framework class extension. Below it is our I2C or SPI controller drivers. And also at the bottom is our physical hardware. For the SPB framework, so very big advantage. Now we have only I2C and SPI, those are popular connection. But in future, we might have a new connection method. So in Windows, they might add a new connection for the users. So you don't have to generate other interfaces. You just call some function. So you can extend your resources available. And also, they could support some I/O core for connection and controlling technology. If you want to read a register, so normally you can lock down this register with no effect from other resources. You can write into this register and you can open the lock. So for SPB, this is our way of framework. We have under SPB, we have another case. So we have a heat over I2C. This is a human machine interface device. So HID over I2C. So there's a chart on the right. The one in the is a red circle is offered by Microsoft. It's a I2C driver. This is an inbox driver. If your device is a kind of human machine interface, you don't have to write any driver as long as your firmware could have a hit report. So similar to the bullet point 3. So you just upload this feature and the Windows will use this hit over I2C driver to automatically handle it. So with such an approach, how about their features? They can support any I2C speed. So we recommend this from 100K to 1 megabit. And also they might use another GPL line for interrupt. They support from the low power consumption to wake it up. So for our developers of drivers, they might use a debug function. They also include the ETW and the WPP, some debugging method. And later we'll have a demo on the WPP. The third case is the serial connection architecture. So the one on the right is more or less the same chart. It's a kind of a serial cross extension. And then it's a chain, it's a serial controller. At the bottom there is our physical hardware. So for Windows 8.1, we offer a 2.0 version. And 8.1 and 2.0. For 1.0 and 2.0, there's no impact, no influence on that. So they have the same interfaces. They only have some internal optimizations. Now I can have some code as a demo. I have a board, so I'd like to show you. This is our acceleration hardware, and it's a softcode development board. I use I2C and GPIO, their connection approach. This is our instance. So it's an ADSL345 accelerator. This is the low power consumption, 3 axis. So we have a UMDF V2.0 drivers. So how about the one on the right? It's also the same one. We have a peripheral, that is our physical hardware accelerator. So I use the I2C controller and also GPIO controller drivers. So what I want to write is in those red dot circles. I only have to read SAP class extension. So this driver, if it is ready, I have to upload my information to a sensor cross extension. For the other applications or the OS, so they can use those resources. The first step, I have to select a single development environment, that is our development board. Secondly, you have to modify your driver to be adapted to your hardware. Thirdly, you have to install this driver. And also, we have some validations. So I'll give you more elaboration one by one. The first part, we have to select our hardware. So yesterday, in some sessions, we give you some information concerning. We have about four boards. So for your selection, if you want to develop this x86 with 32-bit,
Sorry， 好像变小了。
All right, let's move on. If you want to develop a 32-bit operation system, so we can use the SharkScolf, and if it's 60, then maybe we need a Mino board max, and if you want the ARM, maybe you need Qualcomm or the Raspberry Pi 2. So the ports are different. For instance, SharkScolf actually it doesn't support SPI. So if you has SPI devices, you need the Mino board max, so you can adjust to your needs. And for me, I actually used a SharkScolf. And also, I would like to show you the internal drivers code and the programming, as well as the activities when we boosting and also stopping the devices, and also the connectivity of it. For instance, I now shift to the Visual Studio. All right. And actually, the ADSL 34. If yesterday you came to the WDF presentation, you know the dealing entry. On dealing entry is when you are about to boost your device, you need this RD entry. And we need the storage of the data, for instance, the I2C sensor. That means you use I2C and you write it down into this. And we also have four reference numbers. The first IO target, this is a target. And for this target, well, it actually you get it from the PACC device. And the PACC device is actually in here, because yesterday I mentioned the device space, and we got it, well, actually from the context to here. And now we have the IO target. And the second is really simple, because that's where I put it, so that's why I name it register, and also the value. And the fourth is the size of the value. So they're simple, because at the very beginning, when the computer is about to boost, we have an array, and that's how I program it. If you ever notice that, you will see we have already locked it. That means we have synchronized the resources so that other people cannot visit it. And after that, we just release that. So this is a standard order and also the process. At the very beginning, we used I2C, and if I give you another example, the interact function should use GPIO. And if the sensor is interrupted, then you can see the interact eyes out. And also inside, we have some other context. From the context, we got the IO target, just like just now. And we just write, and now it changes into read, and the source, and also the buffer, and also the size of it. So quite similar to what I just mentioned. And before that, I just locked it down. And after that, I just release it, similar to previous one. If I'm about to read the material and I got many interrupts, each and every time you can see on interrupt item. So we got a context. After that, I collected. That means to get data and to see the definition of get data. All right, wait a second. Just now I mentioned the I2C, GPIO, and in get data, I can also show you the following. If the driver is already well developed, what I need to do now is to install it on the computer. For instance, I have this Shark Scarf. You may have already seen that before. We have a fast speed sensor, and later I'll just install that. Before the installation, what we need to do is, first of all, we need to enter the secure boot, and we need to test signing, and the WDK will help you to finish that. And in ACPA, we need to announce the hardware, I2C, GPIO, and also the driver process, and also the matching hardware ID. So in this way, we can match it with ACPI. And in ACPI, if you ever remember from yesterday's session, in the ACPI, we have several parts. One is the hardware ID. You need to identify the one and only ID. And you can see the ADXL 0345. And during installation, you can make sure that you can install it correctly. And and 0.53 speed is 400K, and the I2C controller is the third one. And for GPIO, we used the GPIO 2 and also number 17 pin. Well, actually, this is an ACPI file. If you ever changed it, we wrote down GPO2, but if I mistake it as GPIO instead of GPIO2, then it's a mistake, but it's very difficult to find out, identify this mistake. So it might take you a lot of time to find out that, okay, you have written down the GPIO instead of GPIO2. So we need to have another ACPI GenFX. In this way, in ACPI table, you can have some familiar interface. For instance, we have the first step. This is how I write it. And also, our platform is 86 and HWID, hardware ID. And the third step is the I2C and 0, 53, and 400K. And the interrupt is like this. And finally, this is the ACPI table. So for ACPI, the manufacturing of it has some advantages. For instance, if I mistake GPO instead of GPIO, it's very difficult to find out. So in compile this, the compiler will talk to you what kind of problems you may have. And also, for some analysis, you can find out all these problems. Not to wait until the installation. And at the very beginning, maybe you're not quite familiar with that, but we have some examples to show you that. Excel is actually the file like this. It's very difficult to adjust, but with the support of the ACPI GenFX, the bugs you may come across may be fewer. And also, we have the inf. At the very beginning, you need to have the types of the sensors identified, and also you have the one and only cross GU, class GUID. So after that, you can see it's a kind of sensors, and also from GUID, you can announce that. We also have the hardware ID. In ACPI table, you have already announced that, so we need to have a matching announcement. And for sure, during the development, you should have the manufacturer's name and also the device's name. And in some models, we have some to-do list reminding you switch it to the programming. I just mentioned that if I have an interrupt, I need to get some data. And if you entering the get data, you can see we lock it down first and then we read it. And we can read it from data buffer. And after the reading, we can open it, and the data buffer can be dealt with. For instance, you can see who wrote the data, so we need to do something about it. So in this way, we can get the following data. And also for the materials, I can upload it to the sensor data. After that, OS as a system will get all the data. That's the whole process. To To review what I just talked about, we have already mentioned three steps. First, to select and also to set the development environment, like the Shark's Golf. And also on APCI table, you have already set something. And in terms of the drivers, we have already adjusted a little bit. In this way, we can read the CPI data. And after that, we have already installed that on Shark's Golf. And now I would like to show you when I get some problems, how to deal with that. And we have some usual mistakes, and I can give you some best practices and also the reminder. For instance, you have some beginners tools and examples. For instance, if you use GPIO, I suggest you use the same device. You can find it on SPB. And for SPB, we also have a SPB test tool. And for I2C, you have SPI and also SPB test tool. And UART, you have the matching blue booth. And if you want to develop the I2C, we have other resources and also testing tools like MITS and also HLK. And later I will elaborate on that, like SPB test tool. Specifically, you can open the controller's handle to use KMDF SPB port and also to use GPIO interrupt. So in this way, you can do it correctly. And you can also know what kind of problems you may get. And you can refer to this web link. And also you can find on a web store, online store. And we also mentioned a lot of things about driver and also the low energy cost. And in Windows and in a lot of applications, you also have some API to actually correct to different devices. For instance, I can give you an example. And I have the following programming to have the LED light to flash 10 times. And for instance, you can see the blink, the LED 10 times, and you can reduce the voltage to 2000, and you can also increase the voltage. So if you repeat the changes of the voltage 10 times, then the LED light will just blink 10 times. So in this way, we can control our devices. This is just an example. And we have other hardware lab kit, and this is for HLK. And later, we're also having a session from my colleague to elaborate on that. And we have two parts. If you have the IHV and to test your devices, then we know LPB is not something you need to think about. So what we would like to do is that if you have a speeder or if you have a light sensor for different devices, we have different test tools. And if you want to test the controller, for instance, for SoC chip suppliers, and we have other testing methods and also other testing tools to do that. And we have the MITS. This tool is actually a multi-port testing tool. And it's from Microsoft and to test your hardware and software. And you can see from the right hand side, we have different GPIO, I2C, SPI, and different tools are at your deployment. And you can also refer to this web link. And also, you can see the inf mistake. And if you haven't used the Visual Studio, then you may have some mistakes occur. And in system inf catalog, you have the setup API dot dev dot log. So in this file, you can see what kind of problems you have. Whether it's connected to the device at the very beginning and also after the booting, maybe some devices are connected. So when during the booting, what kind of setting you should have? And I show you the examples and also the dealing method. An ACPI table can tell Windows the right settings. So for Windows, you can see the correct information and data.
And plug out your device, it will automatically updating. So another tool is our WPP trace. Later we'll have a scenario. So we'll start with the initial introduction. So the one on the in the top right corner, you can open this WPP tracing function. So there are a lot of choices in the attributes. And one in the down right corner, so it's a physical actual operation. You have some defined information. So it will generate those information real time. You'll have this trace tool to check those information. So now I'll do a demo. So we have some emulate such kind of emulate such kind of situation. This is my Shopscott board. So in my development machine already write such a driver, and I drag it to our device. This is our PDB and ACC. So those are three file. So this is our device manager. So this is the sensors which I defined just now. There's a sample, ADSL 345. So this is a exclamation mark. So the device cannot start. So this is quite a common problem. So just tell you there's something wrong with the power. And how about how to solve those problem? So this is the tool available. So we have a trace view in our WDK. So you can download this trace view. So it is in the manager mode. So this is our sign. This is the sign file. So up to now, so some of the information could be displayed. So I have to reboot my device. First of all, I have to disable it. So what is the problem at the start? I have to enable it. So there are some real-time information. So those are the ones success, quite normal. But up to here, it's I square C, read, register, there's a problem, failed. So this is a kind of setting up of the framework. So the first time I read I square C, so it failed. So maybe something wrong with my setup at I square C. So let's roll back to our SPI. We offer ASL in our WDK, so ASL. So we could generate this SPI table. So we'll find my own device, SPBA. So from my slides, this is a hardware ID, I2C. This is zero time 54. We have a GPIO. So how about my spec document of I2C? This is ADSL 345. So it should be a zero. So let's check again. So I should use 53 instead of 54. So I made a mistake just now. So let's correct it to 53. So that is the correct I square C. We'll save it. Those are the code. So I have to compile those code. So this is our command. This is the compile action. And also load table. So those are the tables succeed. So I have to reboot my machine. So what are the things I did just now? It's a compile. This is a ESL2 to edit my document, SSDT, and a load table. So you kind of find it in the MSDN. So with that, restart memory device. So why do I have to restart? It's an ACPI table. So the system they have to load with my restart to load my corrected information. So I think I will answer your question at the end of the session. So let's return to this slide. So I restart my device, succeed. How about my device manager? So it's normal now. If I use my So this is essential info written by my colleagues. So if I move this device, there's a corresponding changes. So this is our actual modulation. So this is my demo. So for some of the detailed debugging, you can download this document. So what you learned today, those are the actual operation. So you can have more discussions. You can visit our sensors stand. I know MSDN document, SLK. We have another SLK session. This is your information, so you can download. So we have other sessions. We have our adjustment debugging of our drivers. So you are all welcome to have a hands-on operation. So this is for your feedback. So that's the end of my session. So I think there is a question in the audience. Can you repeat your question? SAPI. So his question, so whether operation is valid for all the development boards or for my own board. For all the development board, you need an ACI table to make some corrections, which is valid for all the systems. So now my time is up. So that's the end of my session. Thank you for your attention.